It was arguably the league's worst defense in 2021, but the Jets have made upgrades over the offseason. Still, questions remain. We'll answer some of them on today's episode of the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Tuesday, May 17th, 2022, and I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com, and I thank you for making the show your first listen or your first watch every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Big shout out to subscribers to this podcast, and to join that group, just hit the subscribe button wherever you are watching or listening, and you'll never miss an episode. You'll have notifications pop up as new episodes are posted. If you're watching on YouTube, please give this episode a big thumbs up. Helps the channel out and helps other Jets fans find Locked On Jets. Well, we're kind of in the quiet portion of the NFL calendar right now. As I said last week, the league has done a really good job at kind of like taking over the calendar for the most part. Like, really from the beginning of training camp all the way through the NFL draft, the NFL dominates the discussion, but they really have not figured out the May to July period. I mean, they tried with their three-hour special last week for the schedule, but I don't think that worked very well. So we're kind of in the quiet period. It's a good time to kind of take stock of where things are right now. And on yesterday's show, I discussed some of the key questions the Jets have on the offensive side of the ball. And today we're going to talk about some of the questions. It's not so much position battles as much as it is roles that players will have that are kind of unclear. And we're going to go look at the defense. And I think we all know the defense last year was a major weakness for this team. The good news is, on paper, it should be a lot better this year because you've improved the two areas where, and I said this right after the draft, if you're going to be good on defense, you want to be good everywhere. But if you have to choose, the two areas you want to be good on defense are the defensive line and corner. And I think the Jets are good at both areas now. But there still are some questions about what the Jets are going to do at these areas and some other spots on the field. So my first question, and this is a question that's really been a topic of discussion since the season began, because I think a lot of us were kind of surprised, I was surprised that John Franklin Myers played defensive end so much for the Jets last year. Now, of course, you had the injury to Carl Lawson, but the way the Jets put that defense together, it actually did make some sense. They wanted to get bigger on the defensive line so that their linebackers would not have to shed blocks. The defensive line's job was to kind of eat up blocks so the linebackers could cover more ground. They didn't have to put on as much weight to be able to shed blocks. And obviously, it made sense in theory. In practice, it did not work very well. But John Franklin Myers actually still had a decent year. He had the big start. Then around the time he got his contract extension, his play kind of went up and down. I think he was actually, the more I review this, the more I feel like he was actually better near the end of the season than people thought. I think he was a little inconsistent, though. But the big question now is, does he play defensive end or does he play defensive tackle? And this has been, the topic of discussion. People, even last year during the season, people were asking, is John Franklin Myers going to move inside to tackle full-time next year when the Jets presumably have their defensive end situation sorted out a little bit better? And the drafting of Jermaine Johnson may, signal that perhaps John Franklin Myers' time on the outside of defensive end is over. I'm not sure about that. Now, Robert Salah's kind of suggested that it may be kind of a hybrid situation where JFM plays on the end on early downs to continue. He's a pretty strong run defender as a defensive end because he's so big. I don't think he's that great as a defensive tackle, but inside, when you slide on passing downs, you can slide him inside and take advantage of his pass rush skills there. And I was thinking this through and I look back. You always look back at a coach's history. And the Jets actually signed a guy who may be kind of instructive this offseason as to what they'll do with John Franklin Myers, and that's Solomon Thomas. And that's a guy Robert Saleh obviously really likes because he was the first pick San Francisco made after Saleh took over their defense in 2017. When Saleh became their defensive coordinator, Thomas was the first player they drafted. And Solomon Thomas was a guy coming out of school who kind of projected as somebody who could slide between defensive end and defensive tackle, depending on the situation, depending on your matchups. And I also like to look back at coaches who influenced Robert Saleh, guys he worked under, because he's not going to do the same thing, he's not going to run the system the exact same way as maybe Pete Carroll would. But Pete Carroll was a guy who taught Robert Saleh a lot of what he knows about defense. So Salah may tweak things here or there, but philosophically, Salah and Carroll are probably going to be on the same page. In the same way, for Mike LaFleur, you'd look to Kyle Shanahan. Is Mike LaFleur going to run the Kyle Shanahan offense exactly? No, but Kyle Shanahan's kind of the basis for what Mike LaFleur wants to do. And I think back to a few years in Seattle where Pete Carroll had a guy, Michael Bennett. Similar guys, kind of slid between inside and outside. Now, Jermaine Johnson, you do have a rookie who projects as a strong run defender, so he's not necessarily a guy who's going to have to play a lot. He's not necessarily a guy who's going to be relegated to passing downs, but still, I think on some level you want to break in a rookie slowly. And I think, as much as anything, Salah likes to rotate his defensive linemen in and out on defense. So, this could be a situation where you have plenty of opportunities for John Franklin Myers to play inside and out. And one thing I'm not saying, John Franklin Myers is not the same player as Michael Bennett or Solomon Thomas. I'm not suggesting that by any stretch of the imagination. Like, stylistically, they're different. Their skill sets are different. Even their builds are different. I'm not saying that they're the same type of player, so I just want to clarify that. But it shows you that Salah, I think, likes versatility. I think he likes moving guys up and down the line, guys with versatile skill sets. He likes using them in multiple spots. And I think there are going to be plenty of situations where they're going to be able to play Franklin Myers inside, outside. It may very well, in some ways, may depend on the matchup. Now, I think on passing downs, third and longs, or when the Jets are trying to close out a game late in the fourth quarter, the other team's got to throw it. I think that's when you'll see him a lot inside. And I think, in those situations, your defensive line is going to be Carl Lawson on one end, Jermaine Johnson on the other, Quinnen Williams and John Franklin Myers on the inside at defensive tackle. I think in those situations, those obvious passing downs, you'll see Franklin Myers play on the interior. And you may get Sheldon Rankins in the mix there, too, because Rankins, as bad as he was against the run last year, actually was not horrible as a pass rusher, so he could be in the mix, but I don't think you're benching Franklin Myers for him, and you got Lawson and you got Johnson, so I think that's your four-man line in passing situations. But on some of the earlier downs, and I think the Jets are probably going to depend less on their linebackers this year because they now have corners who can press the line of scrimmage a little bit more. And if you watched the Jets last year, you saw it. I mean, the Jets got killed on passes to the flat because they were playing so much off coverage, and the area was vacated. And they were essentially just, the corners were essentially just trying to not get beat over the top. So the Jets just got annihilated last year on passes to the flat. And I guess in theory, part of it's your linebackers, your corners were supposed to rally a little bit more and play downhill a little bit better than they really did. And your linebackers are supposed to be able to get out to the flat a little bit better than they did. Well, when you play press coverage, you don't need as much as from your linebackers. So that will open the opportunities to be a little bit smaller on the defensive line, because your guys will be able to, be built a little bit bigger and be able to shed blocks. But I think Franklin Myers, at the end of the day, he's going to bounce between the two spots. I don't think he's settled in any one spot. It's funny because I was playing into this whole idea that it would be one or the other, but it doesn't have to be. And I think the way Salah runs his defense, I think you'll see Franklin Myers play plenty at both the spots. But John Franklin Myers is not the only player who has some question marks. And ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we're going to talk about a player in the secondary who played, in my opinion, very well last year, yet has lost his job through really, in my view, no fault of his own. What does the future hold for him? Could there be a role change, a position change? I'll tell you what I think ahead here on this Tuesday episode. Well, we're about to talk to a player who could be heading to the bench, but I'll tell you something. If you had a protein bar team, Built Bar would never be going to the bench. And Built Bar has a new star player, Birthday Cake Puffs. Imagine dipping your finger into a plastic tub of birthday cake frosting, then opening your eyes and realizing it was only 150 calories and 16 grams of protein. That's what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built. I had them a couple days ago. I mean, they were delicious. They really did taste like a birthday cake. I've never had anything like it before. If you haven't tried the puffs yet, I'll let you in on a little secret. It's a chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bar. You heard me right. I mean, you may not believe me. It's a delicious-flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate, and they're only 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, and 9 grams of sugar. It's a limited-time flavor, so see for yourself. Go to Built.com, and while you're there, whether you order the birthday cake puff or some other flavor, use promo code LOCKED15 at checkout. That's one word with no space, LOCKED, number 5, and you'll get 15% off your order at Built, BUILT.com. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen or your first watch every day. We're free and available on all platforms. And if you happen to be watching on YouTube, please throw this episode a big thumbs up. It helps us out tremendously. Today, we're talking about questions for the Jets on defense, in particular, some roles that are unsettled. And in this segment, I'm going to discuss Bryce Hall. Bryce Hall is just, like, I think a tough luck guy. There's no other way to put it, because there's no way you can tell me, based on his performance last year, Bryce Hall should be benched. Bryce Hall's a quality player. Played well at the corner position. Looks like a really good get for the Jets in the fifth round in the 2020 draft. And we all remember, you know, the injuries kind of dropped him down the board. It was the spring of 2020, so he couldn't really go to the teams to get his medicals cleared. It was a tough spot for him. And he came in, played near the end of his rookie season, and it was kind of okay. Came back last year as the Jets' number one corner. They rolled the dice that a fifth-round pick could handle the number one corner job. And I thought, again, I thought he played pretty well. I mean, I don't know that he's a guy who's going to shut down the other team's best receiver on a weekly basis, but a guy who looked like a competent starter at worst. And he might be, you know, better than a competent starter. He could be a high-end, you know, second corner for your football team. Well, the Jets had to replace Brandon Knuckles. I don't think Brandon Knuckles is starting material in this league. I think he's a backup. Jets signed DJ Reed, made Brandon Knuckles a backup. Then the draft came, and I'm not sure the Jets really set out to replace Bryce Hall. And the way I entered the draft, I was saying, replacing Bryce Hall is not going to be my objective here. I'm not heading into the draft saying, I need to draft a corner, the way I may have said, I need to draft a receiver. It was not a dire need. But in the NFL, you can get better by improving an area that's already relatively strong. You know, sometimes we get tunnel vision. We think the only way to improve your team is to make an area of weakness better. You can also make an area of strength better. And if there happened to be a great corner who fell to you, who just was the best value available for your team, I don't think Bryce Hall's good enough that you'd pass on him if there's a legit shutdown corner. And Sauce Gardner may be that shutdown corner. At least the Jets certainly think he is. So Sauce Gardner gets drafted, and Bryce Hall presumably goes to the bench. Now, I've heard people speculate, is Bryce Hall moving to safety? Is he moving to the slot? And in all honesty, it seems like this is all fan-generated. I have not seen anything suggesting the coaching staff is considering this. I have not seen anything suggesting anything from a media source indicating the Jets are moving in this direction. I understand the perspective, because you have a quality player. And you look at this, you say, well, it'd be a waste to not have a quality player on the field. Can Hall play safety, though? I mean, I don't know. I think that's an interesting question, especially given the Jets' question marks at free safety. You know, could he play the slot? I don't know that that's the best use of his skill set. But I would also say, you know, as Jets fans, we have not seen a lot of quality on our team in recent years. So I think when you see a roster as thin as the Jets have typically had, you forget that, you know, having quality depth is not a bad thing. I've even heard people suggest we should trade Bryce Hall. That makes no sense to me. He's under contract for two more years. He's very cheap, fifth-round pick. Cheap depth is a good thing. You want good backups. The problem is with the Jets, we haven't had good starters. So when we get a good starter, we assume that, like, that's the... It's almost like we view it as, like, we have a limit to how many good players we can have at any one position. Can't have more than, you know, can't have more than the allotment of starters at the position. No, no. If you're not playing, you can't be good. That's almost the view, like, we have. It becomes like we've gotten so accustomed to poor play. We've become so accustomed to poor rosters with thin, you know, thin depth at any given position that it's almost like we forget when you have a young, cheap player who's a good backup, that's a good thing for your team. Injuries do happen. And I got to say, you know, if somebody gets injured this year at corner, you're going to feel okay about putting Bryce Hall in. You know, something, even if you have two injuries, you're probably in better shape with Brandon Echols as a starter than the other teams would be losing two corners at the top of their depth chart. So, I mean, I don't know that Bryce Hall is going to move. I guess it's possible. And again, like, yes, in an ideal world, you want all of your useful players to be on the field, especially when you do have positions of need. But, I mean, does his skill set fit safety? I can see the argument either way. Maybe that's a topic we'll discuss in the future as we move towards training camp. Can he play the slot? I think Michael Carter II is better than people give him credit for being, and I think he's a better fit for the slot for what the Jets want out of their slot corner than Bryce Hall is. But that's not the end of the world. That doesn't mean you have to trade Bryce. Now, listen, if somebody comes to you with a crazy trade, if somebody offers you like a second-round pick for Bryce Hall, yeah, I'd probably take a second-round pick over a backup. But having a cheap backup, and you know, it's not even, it could even be a different discussion if Bryce Hall was entering the final year of his contract. You know, a year from now, you may look at this and, you know, maybe there's some team in need of a corner. And Bryce Hall, you're looking at him, you know, he's a good player, so he's probably going to leave. He'll probably be able to get a starting job elsewhere next year, and you let him leave for nothing. So maybe you get something now in return for him. That could make some sense for me. But we're still a year away from that. We're still 2 years away. You know, he's still got 2 years left on his rookie contract. He's not making much money. Again, this is a different discussion. If he had signed, like, a big free agent contract, and suddenly you got a $10 million backup, that again, is a different situation. But for what Bryce Hall brings to the table, he gives you insurance. You know, every time somebody signs, it doesn't matter who, the Jets sign some player who's not a backup, it's termed insurance. And some of these signings, these are guys who have been in the NFL forever, aren't any good. And it's almost like, you know, like the Acme insurance the Coyote used to get when he was chasing the Roadrunner. It was like, this is not insurance. Just sign it. Just having a body on your team. I mean, what, were you going to have a roster of 40 players? You weren't going to have any bodies as a backup? A lot of these guys, I mean, most of the time I hear the word insurance, it's not insurance. It's only, I mean, unless you were not going to field an entire team, unless you're going to unless the alternative was playing 10 on 11 if somebody gets hurt, there aren't many good backups in the league. These aren't insurance. These are just guys who are not good, who are backing up your starters. Bryce Hall is actually insurance, because he can come in and you know he can play credible football, probably better than credible football, if somebody gets hurt. So, in some ways, I feel like this argument is somewhat academic, because he's going to have a use on this team. I know your idea is like you don't want any talented player to lack a use. He has a use. He gives you peace of mind at a very important position. So I don't know that he's going to move positions, but I still think he's got a lot of value to this team, at least for this year. You know, next year when he's entering the final year of his contract, maybe we have a different discussion. But for this year, Bryce Hall is a tremendous backup, and you're going to be very happy you have him if you need him. Now, ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we will close out this show on defensive questions, and we'll talk about a couple of players drafted in 2021 who either have made position switches or could make position switches, and we'll look and see what the Jets can expect from them ahead here on this Tuesday, Locked On Jets. Well, you certainly hope Joe Douglas fixed the Jets roster this year, but if your car or truck needs fixing, you should take it to rockauto.com, because with the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local auto parts store to have all the parts you need. You have to endure pointless or intimidating questioning, and the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, and they're choosing the only brand their warehouse carries. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. You'll save time and money when you use Rock Auto, and you should know that Rock Auto is a family business. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and their prices are reliably low for every customer. So go to rockauto.com right now, and you can see all the parts available for your car or truck. It's not the only parts the warehouse carries. You got lots of selections. And when they show you their How Did You Hear About Us box, write Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday. We're talking about questions the Jets have on the defensive side of the ball. Yesterday we talked about offensive questions. I'm going to close out the show today by talking about some late round players the Jets drafted last year who either have changed positions or will change positions. And those are Hamza Nasruldeen, Jamien Sherwood, and Jason Pinnock. Now, Nasruldeen and Sherwood already have changed positions. Technically, they've went from safety to linebacker. And the Jets have gotten so much criticism for this. It's unbelievable to me how many people have criticized the Jets for changing these guys' positions. How many people have blamed like these position changes on the Jets linebackers not being good last year when these guys barely played? They were injured most of the year. Now they made one mistake. They put Sherwood as the middle linebacker in the game in New England where the Jets got crushed in place of C.J. Mosley. That was a mistake. But, you know, this is really overhyped. People talk about moving from safety to linebacker as like the Jets were moving like moving an offensive guard to corner. You know, in Robert Saleh's defense, what does the strong safety do? Well, he plays close to the line of scrimmage. He'll cover running backs or tight ends in man coverage. He'll probably play one of the short zones. What's a weak side linebacker do in Robert Saleh's defense? Well, he plays close to the line of scrimmage. He'll play the run. He'll cover running backs and tight ends in man coverage. He'll probably play one of the short zones. Like, it's not that big of a change. Honestly, if the Jets had left Sherwood and Nasruldeen as safeties, if they just listed them as safeties in the program last year, everybody would be talking about, oh, we're playing big nickel. This is genius. Because that's the idea. The idea is essentially you're trying to you're kind of trying to get the best of both worlds between the base defense, the base 4-3, and a nickel, because you have safeties who are probably stronger against the run than your typical nickel would be, because your typical nickel is going to be a corner in the slot, but better in coverage than the typical linebacker would be, because the safety typically has better cover skills than the linebacker. So essentially, they're trying to get the best of both worlds. And in today's NFL, it's a three-receiver league anyway. So I think like that was the idea behind it, is like you're trying to get guys who are still strong against the run but have defensive back cover skills. And honestly, we didn't really see them that much last year. It'll be interesting to see whether this works this coming year. And you know, for all the criticism it gets, it's something plenty of teams are doing. They're just not listing their safeties as linebackers. Again, if the Jets had just like left their position designation as safeties, everything would be fine. So it'll be interesting to see how they develop this coming year. And look, they made a mistake. They made one mistake with those guys last year. It was playing Sherwood in New England. But if these guys don't produce, it's not because like the Jets have taken some ridiculously flawed idea at the safety position. Like, oh, how can you move a safety to a linebacker, even though it happens a million times? Teams do it all, maybe if I'm exaggerating, a million times. But teams convert safeties to the linebackers all the time. The position designations, especially when you're talking about in Robert Saleh's defense, they're not as big as like people make it out to be. And if these guys don't produce, it's just because they're not good enough. It's not because the idea behind it is fatally flawed. That's just not how it is. Now, Pinnock's an interesting story. You know, Pinnock played safety late last season, and we know the Jets have some issues at the safety position. You know, Marcus Jordan, you're counting a lot on a guy who played 13 plays last year, and you're counting a lot on a guy who really hasn't been a full-time safety since 2018. So it's a tricky spot. And behind him is Ashton Davis, who people keep telling me he's got upside. I understand that like you can get better as a player, but like I've seen nothing that suggests to me Ashton Davis has much potential. I'm not saying I give up on every player. I'm saying this is a player that I just don't see it from. So Pinnock could potentially be a surprise starter. He could potentially be a guy who stays at corner. He could potentially be a guy who really does nothing and we never hear from again. It'll be interesting to see what you get from him. Jets may need somebody to step up, though, at the safety position. They may need to be a surprise player. So this is a guy I have my eye on as somebody who could potentially help this team, who you're not expecting to help this team. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoyed the show, hit that subscribe button. You'll never miss an episode. Big thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube, and a 5-star review if you're listening on a podcast source. Hope you have a great Tuesday, everybody, and send in your mailbag questions. Tomorrow, we are having our weekly mailbag.